Janma karma cha me divyam. Evam yo veti tatvataha. Chaktadeham punarjanma. Naiti mam eti sorjuna. Lord is speaking, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport, the Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is the risk of returning again to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning again to the material world. In this verse, we hear about the Lord's mysterious appearance in the material creation. And most amazingly enough, on this planet Earth, where we have chanced to take our birth, the subject matter of his appearance has been discussed, for 5,000 years, if not more. Specifically, Lord Krishna's appearance 5,000 years ago in Bharat Bhumi, India, Mathura. That appearance and his activities thereof and the results of those transcendental pastimes have been the subject matter of classes like this over and over and over and over again. The nature of transcendental subject matter, that it can be repeated again and again and again and not become stale. Mundane subject matter, as exhilarating as it may be the first time you hear it, it doesn't remain like that very long because it's mundane. It doesn't touch the atma, touch the soul, doesn't enliven the spiritual senses. Just like a few weeks ago we had the inauguration of our new president, Barack Obama, and it was the news of the day. I think there was hardly anyone in this country who was not watching. Maybe the babies. They were. But everyone else was glued to the TV set. And if you weren't the TV set, you were there at the mall, freezing your toes off, watching on the big screen. And the next day they carried some coverage, and the next day some coverage, and then gradually it was weeded out because people lost interest. It came and it went. His appearance on the scene, the senator from Illinois became the president, the first African-American black president. Quite amazing, quite wonderful actually. Very open-minded gentleman. He even mentioned the Hindus in his inauguration. Well, thank him for that. So his appearance on the scene was the news of the day, and maybe for a few days, a week or something. But then it's old news. It'll be written in the history books, and our grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren, they'll take an examination and ask who was the 44th president of America, and they'll say Barack Obama, and who was the 44th and 45th and 46th, and his name will. But it's not that it's being repeated and discussed again and again and again and again and again. But Krishna is a different personality. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana. He's no ordinary person. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the fountainhead of all existence. Aham Savasya Pabhavo Matta Sarvam Pavartate. Everything material and everything spiritual emanates from his transcendental form. And he's the most lovable object, let us say the most lovable person in all creation and beyond. He's able to reciprocate the loving sentiments of each and every living entity throughout three worlds. He's a special person. So his appearance in this world has been discussed for 50 centuries. Every day, maybe not in Western countries, but in Bharat, in India, you can be sure that somewhere in India, every day for the last 5,000 years, somebody's mentioned in passing, or there's been a class in Vrindavan or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri or Dwarka or Tirupati or Balaji Temple, or someone's discussed the appearance and activities of the Supreme Lord. And why not? Here we hear from this verse we can appreciate what happens if you understand the nature of God's appearance. What happens? If you hear about Barack Obama, well, you get a little bit of thrill and sensation. But if you hear about Krishna regularly and you can understand his appearance, what happens? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakta deham punar janma naiti mam eti sarjana. One who understands, Krishna says, the nature of my birth, my appearance, does not, upon leaving the body, take birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode. Whoa. Worth lending an ear to the subject matter. We have a brain, and we have intelligence, and it's meant to be utilized, not just for making money. Money is the honey. Money is the honey. It's so sweet. It can't be beat. Well, you're losing it. It's slipping through your fingers in the recession. That's the sweetest thing. But by hearing Krishna's pastimes, we gain immortality. We like to read the stock market and read the news and figure out how to get more. We like to hear about that subject matter. But if you hear about Krishna's birth, then you get immortality. So we should spend a little time with this business of Krishna consciousness. For most people, it's a shocking thing to hear that God came here. We know about his representatives who come quite regularly, actually. Every religion has some representative of the Lord who's appeared. In Christianity, they have Jesus Christ. In Islam, they have Muhammad. Well, they don't have many. They have one. We have so many representatives of God. Even God has come in limited ways, features. Ete chamsa kalo pumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam lokam ridayunte juge juge. It's a whole list of incarnations of God in the Srimad Bhagavatam, described as unlimited as the waves on the ocean. And they're appearing from time to time. This is the beauty of our Vedic culture. One man asked me, he challenged me. He wasn't a Muslim. He said, do you think God would come here? That's offensive. Because in Islam, it's offensive to think of God and to speculate what God would look like and what he would be doing. And certainly, he lives on high, above. Why would he come here? Krishna himself describes this world in his Gita. He created it. Who knows it better than him? If you build a house, you know the inside and outside of that house. So God knows the inside and outside of this creation, which we're lusting after. What does he say about it? Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avito arjuna mamopetite kuntiya punar janma nivijate. He summarizes it. This place, this Atlanta, Georgia, on my mind, God bless America, save the earth. Okay, but Krishna says, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. That's called eloquence, is truth spoken concisely. Instead of a long-winded inauguration speech, I heard one of the elected presidents, I forget who it was, I think it was the 23rd or 24th, he gave an hour and a half inauguration speech. No, it was 2.5 hours. Barack Obama is a good speaker. He knows how to speak and how long to speak. He spoke maybe 18 minutes. Eloquence is truth spoken concisely. Get to the point. We're hungry. Come on, Swami. You're a good talker, but at least, you know, enough's enough. Too much of a good thing's not good. So, yes, to the point. Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. Just learn this one lesson in this lifetime. This world is temporary and full of suffering. We shouldn't lust after it. We should do our business and get out. Prabhupada gave a very graphic example. He said, like when you go to the latrine, what are you going there for? To hang around? You do your business and you get out. So we come to the latrine of material existence. Birth, death, old age, disease. You don't hang around this place. Maybe you'll get some money, maybe you'll get some honey, maybe you'll get pretty wife, nice children. You can go to Disneyland. I'm really getting on Disneyland's case. You go to Disneyland every summer with your kids and you can fly back to India and visit. Where? Where is it all taking place? In Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. Do your business and get out. Prabhupada said, this material world is no place for a lady or gentleman. You don't find ladies, you don't find refined, cultured people here. Maybe you do, but they're on their way out. The refined beings are devatas on Svargalok. They're refined people. They don't speak this English or this German or this French languages. English is for doing business only. Why do you think you've all learned English? To come here and do business. Prabhupada said, German? This is for like barking dogs. And the French, ooh la la, madame, monsieur. It's for lovers. If you want to be a good lover, je t'aime, mon ami, bonjour. Madame, je suis un jeune homme. Moi, je parle français, c'est parce que. Vous comprenez? You understand? No? Okay. This Devanagari, this Sanskrit, this is the language of gods. Because most of the language is meant to glorify the Supreme Absolute Truth, Vishnu or Krishna. In India, previously, they would sing the Sanskrit, they would speak, the pundits, like this. What was the purpose? For the money? No. It was simply to glorify the Supreme Absolute Truth, the elevated culture. So this world is, we don't see the Sanskrit so prominent now. Now it's the English. English is like the most common language. It's everyone's second language. What is it for? For sense gratification. The refined living beings, they reside in the higher worlds. So thinking like this, we should get out. We should get out. Narottam says, here I am in the middle of a holocaust trying to enjoy myself. In the middle, let us say the building catches on fire. And you're warming your hands. Ah, it's cold in here in Atlanta. No. Immediately, emergency, out. Get out! One time, I remember one man, I was distributing books, he said, your people are escapists. You're trying to escape society. And he thought I'd try to defend myself. I said, yes. He got bewildered. What? I said, yes, we're escapists. And then he was thinking of what answer, and I quickly I said, if the house is on fire and I run out of the house and you accuse me of being an escapist, is that good or bad? He said, that's good. I said, thank you. Yeah. This whole material world is on fire with the desire, material desire, consuming our opportunities for self-realization or Krishna consciousness. Of course, we have our duties. We have to do maintain the body and the family and participate in social affairs. That cannot be denied. And a good portion of our time must be spent doing that. Prabhupada said, solving the problem, we don't have to solve the problems of life under nasty conditions like cats and dogs. we can live a relatively nice existence, but not at the expense of our spiritual lives. That's the point. Now it's out of whack, it's out of balance. Only the material and nothing spiritual. So what person in his right mind would want to stay here? And what enlightened soul would want to come here? But they come. Great souls come from the spiritual domain here out of their unlimited compassion for us. Just like you may be driving down the street and there's a fire and you may be a good Samaritan. You'll go in and you'll try to rescue the people. It happens. We hear the heroes. Every year they have the Atlanta heroes and San Francisco heroes. They're heroes, those who risk their lives to save others, to go into a dangerous situation. It's a natural sentiment of a gentleman or lady. So those liberated souls in the spiritual sky looking down here on the earth planet, sometimes they're overwhelmed with with a sense of compassion. And on their own initiative they come. They do their best. But sometimes the situation is so out of hand, even their combined effort is not so effective. So sometimes the Father has to come. God has to come. And he says that also in Gita. That what is the verse? Whenever and wherever there's a decline in spirituality, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam adharmasya. He sometimes comes. One time one Christian man said to Prabhupada, How you think that God can come here? How he can come here? Prabhupada said, who can stop him? Not only is the situation very much different here than it is in Svargaloka, what to speak of the spiritual world. There everything, as we were saying earlier, is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Here everything is temporary, full of ignorance and suffering. But the fact is that not many people are interested in greeting him. In our culture, when a saintly person comes, we go to the edge of the village, we greet him, we bring him to the home, we wash his feet, we give him garland, we offer him some refreshments, and then we ask him to speak. And his business finished, we walk him back to the edge of the village and on his destination with some remuneration. Do you think that when Jesus Christ appeared in this world, anyone was really interested? Were they there to receive him? Were they there to receive Muhammad? Were they there to receive Buddha? Were they there to receive Krishna? Kamsa was thinking of killing Krishna, actually. Because everyone in this world is more or less little inimical towards God. That's why we're here. We're here because we maintain a little sense of envy towards God. So if people are envious of you, do you go and associate with them? No way. You avoid them. We often quote, hundreds of times we've quoted Chanaka Pandit. He says, don't go to a place where there's not a clean flowing river, where there's not a pious, righteous king. Don't go to a place where there's not brahmanas speaking the absolute truth. Don't go to a place where there's not good physicians or doctors. Don't go to a place, he says, where people are inimical towards you. If you want to choose a vacation spot, don't go to Baghdad. They don't like Americans there now. Don't go to Tehran. Where are you going? I'm going on a lovely vacation to Tehran. I'm going to wear my American flag around my... Oh, whoa. No. In Vedic age, you would travel and by foot, and you would, if there wasn't a clean river, you could get diseased. 68% of the world's diseases are transmitted by contaminated water. So don't go to a place where there's not good water. Don't go to a place where there's not a pious king or a good government. I don't think many Americans visited Russia during the communist times. It wasn't a place to go and visit because the regime was very demoniac. Don't go to a place where there's not a good doctor. If you get sick, this is our problem, me and Prahlad. This is a good place to get sick, America. No matter who you are. Take you to the emergency room and they patch you up. But we've been to places where, you know, Siberia, you wonder what kind of doctors they have. One of my disciples had to have an operation one time. Kishori Devidasi, she's an old woman now. When she was young, during the Stalinist era in Russia, they had to operate on her stomach. And she just kind of pulled her, old woman, she pulled to the side, her sorry, I saw this huge scar. So, God, it must have been really a difficult operation. It must have given you a lot of anesthesia. She said, no. In Ukraine, in those days, there was no anesthesia. What did you do? I screamed. And then I passed out from unconsciousness. Then they gave me some whiskey. She said, is that okay, Guru Dave? Come on, that was 50 years ago. You know, I didn't hold you accountable for a shot of whiskey when you were a devotee. Don't worry about it. I got the sinful reaction because you're my disciple. And don't go to a place where people are inimical to it. So the whole world has turned our back on God. That's why we're here. It's amazing he would come. But he does come. Why? Tesham eva nukampartam aham agyana tam tamah agyana jam tamaha nashyaham ayatma bhavashto janma dipena bhavashvataha. He says, out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So he'll personally come. And when he comes, he's out of compassion. He manifests his compassion in several ways. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samsta panartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. His compassion is manifest in that he delivers his devotees, he gives us dharma, a process of religion, and he kills the demons. So we can understand that delivering his devotees is compassion and speaking Gita is compassion, but how is the killing business compassion? Because he's killing demons, and demons are a problem. They're a problem for the virtuous. Because they like, the demons like to pick on the weak guys. They're big bullies. They like to pick on the weak people. Who are the weak people? Innocent members of society. Children, women, Brahmins, and old people. They're always harassing. And the religious people. The demons are always harassing. So they have to be dealt with. And a good government is a government which deals with the convicts. We hear how some millions of years ago, the king died, King Venu died. He was a very powerful authoritarian ruler. He kept all the criminals in check. And when he died, there was no one to take his place. And what happened is all the criminals became very powerful. They were taking advantage of the situation to rob the people and exploit them and so forth and so on. So the brahmanas had to create a situation where, again, there was a strong authoritarian rule so the criminals wouldn't get the upper hand. You have to have strong government. You have to have a good army and a good police force. When I was a kid, we were against the army, against the police. We were saying, make love, not war. We don't want any army in America. We don't want any police in America. Why? Because we could do all our nonsense. But you need strong authority. Krishna said he's the rod of chastisement. But sometimes the demons are so powerful that even government cannot take it. Just barely the whole world was able to bring down Adolf Hitler. He was so charismatic in a demoniac way and so powerful, it took the whole world to bring him down. He's just one little eensy weensy, tiny beensy beensy little conditioned soul. What about when Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu appear? What about Ravana and Kumbhakarna? What about Kamsa and Shishupal, who's going to deal with them? Barack Obama?
You stop that right now. We're going to pass a law, a stimulus package, and we're going to deal with you.
Now, he has some guts. He's thinking about working there in Afghanistan. We give him credit like that. But sometimes these demoniac people are so powerful, even the demigods cannot deal with them. They conquer the three worlds. Bhur, Bhuvash, Svaha. So who's going to deal with the situation? Krishna. He comes as Varaha. He comes as Nrisimha. He comes in his various as Ram, and he deals with them. So no one should lament. This is his compassion upon all the fallen conditioned souls of the sage, that he deals with these people so that we can practice Krishna consciousness peacefully. But Prabhupada said his real business really is, it's not difficult to do these things, to kill the demons. He just has to make a famine or an epidemic or another tsunami. That was a little tsunami. You wait. Things are going to get worse before they get better because there's so much karmic reaction in the air. It has to be cleaned up, so don't be surprised. The Lord doesn't have to come personally. But he comes personally to rescue his devotee. Just like when there's a dangerous situation, there's a lot of people around, and your children are there. Who do you rescue first? Your children. It's like if there's some fire, Vilasini is going to first think of her, of Shanti and her little boy. She'll take them out first. She's not going to rescue this big Murdunga player here. To each his own. So when there's some real danger in this world, when the demons get the upper hand, and history repeats itself, don't be naive. History goes in cycles. Krishna will come. Who's he going to rescue? He's going to rescue his family members, his devotees. So we don't want to stay. It's going to get worse. We want to be rescued, right? So we should become devotees, and by the Lord's strength, we will be rescued from the repetition of birth and death. He says in his Gita, but those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So this is the sure ticket out of material existence. Sometimes the situation is not so bad, sometimes it's very bad, but actually it's always bad. Because even if the demons don't have the upper hand, still you're on the path of repeated birth and death, still you have to take birth, still you have to grow old, still you have to get disease, still you have to die. But how will you get out of this mess? Only by the Lord's grace. And he'll come. And he says he's the swift deliverer for his devotee from the ocean of birth and death. So our business should become, to get out, we simply have to become devotees. He may even miss the yogis or the jnanis. Hey, I'm a yogi. Well, I'm busy delivering my devotees, I'm sorry. Wait, I'm a mystic yogi. Well, first my devotees. If there's some extra time, I'll come back and get you. Devotees are assured of the Lord's protection. They're assured of deliverance. And so Prabhupada said we should finish up this Krishna consciousness in one lifetime. And for that, we have to attract the attention of the Lord by becoming devotee. What does devotee mean? Shaved head, tilak, and sari or dhoti? Yes and no. It's a question of the heart. Clothes don't make the man. It's where your heart is. If your heart is, if you're attracted to and you're serving and you're loving God, you become a candidate for going back home, back to Godhead. So before it gets too bad, become a devotee and let Krishna deliver you from this ocean of birth and death. Don't wait around. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I like distributing this book so much, I want to come back birth after birth and distribute your book. And Prabhupada was, what am I teaching you? He said, I'm teaching you to get out of this world. It's a nice sentiment to want to serve the spiritual master life after life. But Prabhupada said, I am not recommending. Finish up in this one lifetime. How to finish up? Become Vaishnava, Vaishnavi, become devotee. oh, it's so complicated, there's so many rules, so many regulations. Yes, that's true. But there's one rule and one regulation. You stick to that, in due course of time, you'll become pure devotee. What is that one rule and one regulation? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So I will follow the example of Barack Obama. I will finish after 18 minutes. I'm usually a long-winded speaker, but I will save you. And I'm also hungry. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki.